In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever you see a sign, you can be sure that the sign does not exist for its own sake. Signs exist sometimes to convey information, but more to the point, signs exist to point you to something. When you're shopping at the grocery store, there are signs above the aisles to point you to the various types of food that you might be looking for. When you're driving on the road, likewise, there are signs that convey information about safety and the locations of nearby places to help direct you safely to where you are going. So it is in the fourth gospel that St. John records for us a number of signs of our Lord. These signs in the other gospels are simply called miracles, but here in St. John's gospel, these miraculous signs are not meant to be mere demonstrations of power on the part of our Lord, though they certainly are. They are signs pointing to something beyond themselves. They do not exist for their own sake. And so it is that our gospel text for today, where our Lord feeds the 5,000, is one such sign in John's gospel. In fact, he calls it a sign in verse 14, where he talks of the men who had seen this sign that Jesus did. They then respond by proclaiming him to be the prophet who has come into the world. And so it is that the signs in John's gospel are not like a simple grocery store sign that point to one thing. These are complex signs that point to more than one thing. They're signs that point both backward and forward, such is the case for this sign of the feeding of the 5,000. It points both backward and forward. So first of all, it points backward, and we are given an indication of exactly what it is that it points backward to in verse 4 of the text, where St. John records for us that the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Now, this little detail is unique to St. John's account. The other three gospel writers include this same account of the feeding of the 5,000, and not one of the other three mentions the nearness of the Passover. And to be fair, St. John doesn't really have a particular reason to include this detail beyond his desire that we see a connection between what is about to unfold in this gospel text and the events of the Passover. Or to put it differently, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is a sign pointing backward to the Passover. Now, when we think of the Passover, maybe we think narrowly of one piece of the greater Passover event. Maybe you think of the angel of death passing over the houses, or the meal that was eaten, or the lamb that was sacrificed. But all of those things together, and more in fact, make up the Passover event as told in the book of Exodus. The Passover occurs in the context of the great plagues that the Lord sent upon Egypt in order to persuade Pharaoh with a strong arm to let his people go out of slavery. The plague associated with the Passover then was the 10th and final plague, the plague of the angel of death, who would come upon the land of Egypt and slay the firstborn son of the Egyptians, of their cattle, and yes, even the Israelites who dwelled in the land. But God provided a way for his people to be spared from this plague by instructing them to sacrifice the Passover lamb, whose blood was shed so that their sons might not die. And that blood was then taken and painted on the door frames of the houses so that when the angel of death would see the blood of the lamb, he would pass over. But this, of course, is not the end of the Passover event, because this was all for a purpose, so that God's people would be led out of slavery in Egypt into freedom. And so they were led out of slavery in Egypt through the sea and into the wilderness. And it is at this point that our first reading for today comes, where the Lord provides bread from heaven, manna, to sustain them in their wilderness wanderings. Not because the wilderness was their home, not because manna was the final feast that the Lord had promised and planned for them. The manna was there to sustain them on their journey toward the promised land. It was a meal, a promise of hope that something greater was coming, something that would not pass away. And so it is that the writer of the fourth gospel depicts our Lord Jesus Christ as fulfilling many of these Passover items. Our Lord, we're told, has come across the sea. He, as we're told in the synoptic accounts, has led this group of people into the wilderness. And now he is about to provide bread from heaven for them. And this bread, of course, is not a means, or is not an end to itself, but rather is a promise of something greater that is to come. And that is because this feeding of the 5,000, this sign is not only a sign that points backward to the Passover and the Exodus event, it is also a sign that points forward. We see hints of this in verses 10 and 11 of the text, where after the disciples have been unable to find a solution to how to feed this large crowd, our Lord knew what he would do. And so he gives instruction that the people would sit down in our translations, but better, he gives instruction that they would recline. They're getting ready for a banquet. And we're told, too, that there was much grass in the place. The green pastures of Psalm 23 certainly come to mind. And so it is in verse 11 that our Lord begins his great miracle associated with this sign. And the language is very specific, as the gospel writer records for us, that Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, and he distributed it. Sounds an awful lot like Lord's Supper language, and that is not unintentional. Because St. John is inviting us to see this miracle of the multiplication of loaves, this sign of the feeding of the 5,000, is meant to be seen as a sign pointing forward to the Lord's Supper. Of course, this miracle is in itself not the Lord's Supper. That had not been instituted yet. The people were not eating of the body of Christ here. But this miracle is a sign foreshadowing our Lord's actions in the institution of the Lord's Supper. The way that he directs the leftovers to be collected is a prefiguring of the Lord's Supper. Note his instructions in verses 12 and 13 to gather up the leftover fragments so that none may be lost. And then we are told that those fragments are gathered in baskets so that there was more left over than there was to begin with. But note too the number of baskets. 12. 12 is always a symbolic and important number in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, 12 is the number of God's people, the 12 tribes. Similarly, in the New Testament, 12 apostles were chosen because 12 is the number of God's New Testament people, the church. We see this in a number of places in St. John's Revelation. And so the 12 baskets are meant to symbolize the church. And the bread given by our Lord, which remains, unlike the manna of old, that bread that remains is to be preserved so that it is metaphorically speaking, available for the future believers in the church who will partake in the meal that this miracle points forward to. Not, of course, that we partake of the literal barley bread that they did, but we do partake of the bread that is Christ's body, for which this bread in the miracle was a sign. Because the feeding of the 5,000 is meant to be a sign that points both backward and forward. So it is for us in the church that our Lord has given us a similar sign that points backward and forward. And that sign is a meal that is the Lord's Supper. Now, when I refer to the Lord's Supper as a sign, I do not mean that it is merely a sign or a symbol. It is, of course, the real presence of Christ in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink, as our Lord makes clear in his words of institution. But in the biblical sense of a sign, something that is pointing to another reality greater than itself, yes, the Lord's Supper is a sign. It is a sign, first of all, that points backward. And there are any number of Old Testament connections that we could make here. But the chief thing to which the Lord's Supper points back is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul records for us in 1 Corinthians 11, where he writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we partake of this meal, we are being pointed back to Christ's atoning death on the cross, not merely by way of remembrance, but in such a way that we are partaking in his death. For he is the living bread that came down from heaven. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And whenever we eat of the meal that comes from this altar, we not only remember, which we do remember, Christ's death, but we also receive the benefits of his atoning death for us. Just as our Lord said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Whoever receives this sacrament and believes these words has exactly what they say. That is forgiveness of sins. And so the Lord's Supper is a sign that points back and connects us in a real and tangible way to the death of Christ so that we receive the benefits thereof, but it is also a sign that points forward. For St. Paul says that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And our Lord promised on the night that he was betrayed to his disciples that while he wouldn't drink of this cup again until he drank it anew in his Father's kingdom, he will drink it anew with us in his Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper is also a sign pointing forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Because Christ our Lord has become our Passover Lamb, because he was sacrificed for us, because he has given us his flesh under the forms of bread come from heaven to sustain us as we wander in the wilderness of this world, because he has led us also through the waters of holy baptism, because of all of these things, we have the promise of something greater, the promise of an eternal home, our own promised land toward which we journey. So it is that the bread from heaven, which is served on this altar, comes to sustain us as we wander through this valley of the shadow of death unto our eternal home. For our Lord will bring us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where he is preparing a table before us. The Lord's Supper is both our sustenance as we journey through the wilderness of this world, and it is our promise that something greater is in store for us. May Christ our Lord give us eyes to see this sign for what it truly is, minds open to receive its benefits, and hearts to believe in his sustenance and promise. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.